Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So I'd like to just say a little bit about body awareness as a practice, as a kind of meditation practice you can apply in our daily lives. To be aware of the body can be a very centering, calming thing. Coming back home, so just being aware of three things: posture, movements and elements, is the way that the Buddha taught mindfulness of the body. So being aware of the posture, the way we do this is to be had a little refinement there. Having good posture is what makes us aware of our posture. Movement, so again having a little bit of refinement in movement and composure, moving in a composed way, can make us more aware of the movements of the body. And then third one, elements, then this is being aware of, say, the weight of the body. This would be the earth element or the air element that we cultivate through practicing anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, or the fluidity of the body. It's the kind of consistency of it. So the body's got kind of hard bits and soft bits, isn't it? Soft belly and hard knees and hard elbows, a hard skull, head. So these three are the way we can refine our body awareness and our movement. And the Buddha was a very refined being, and he encouraged this kind of refinement in his disciples. We see in the suttas very often the people saying that they recognized the Buddha's disciples through this kind of refinement of body awareness and movement, saying that every movement was consummate. Was this kind of comment about the mindfulness and composure of the Buddha's disciples. So clearly not all of us can be dancing around at work or moving in the most refined and beautiful way, like dancers or models. The Buddha wouldn't really encourage this either. It's not, we're moving in a sensual way, but in a calm way. There's a big difference here. So it'd be more like something like Tai Chi, if anyone knows what that is. A very slow, calm, refined way of moving. So it actually calms this kind of sensual movement. But it's not all of us that can still do this, and not just because of our own lack of awareness or something, but because of the social implications. I remember when I was a junior monk, I was still doing a lot of Tai Chi, and I could move quite well, and I got criticised. I came up to Amaravati and I was a very good posture and kind of refined, composed movement, and people criticised me for showing off. And so, still, this can work if it's just a very little bit of refinement. So we don't have to show off, draw attention to ourselves in this way. But there can be a great sense of composure, because we're controlling the move, as we're controlling the movements of the body, then this helps us to control the mind or tame the mind. And so I would say in a Tai Chi, for example, if you find a Tai Chi class, then this, if this appeals to you, then this is, I found this an extremely useful practice. It's really my first meditation practice, Tai Chi. Hard to find a good teacher, but if you can, then it's a very beautiful thing. And you feel yourself very relaxed and at ease in the body. Very, very much recommended with my ex-physio hat on. Very much recommended as a means to keep the body strong and supple. Agile. Very enjoyable in the old days. It improved my dancing in no end. Good fun. So if we practice this over many years, we can get very, this can become normal. A little bit of awareness of walk, that we're walking as we're walking, or sitting as we're sitting. It helps us to remain centered. So again, this is all these different practices, then some of these are going to appeal to some people and not to other people, so we always have a choice and work out which one we want to go for and try and stay with it, try and do too many different ones. So offer that for your reflection.